Reading from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You know, blessing is kind of a funny word. We think right away, well, I know what that means, and we probably do, but we might think it's really simple. It's just we're in church, so when you bless something, you consecrate it, you make it holy, you set it aside for God's use, and that's certainly one of the meanings of blessing. But think of all the other ways that we use this interesting word in so many other contexts. When someone sneezes, what do we say? Bless you. Before we eat, we say, well, is someone going to ask the blessing? We say someone is blessed with good skin or good genes or a good memory. You know, if someone asks, what year was it that we went to California on vacation? And the other person says, blessed if I know. Sometimes people even use the word in the exact opposite way from what it means. They say, I'm going to bless you out. And they really mean I'm going to cuss you out. I don't know where that one came from. Just that phrase itself, bless your heart. It sounds like something a little granny might say. But that also can be kind of condescending, can it? Sort of a put down. Well, bless your heart. You don't have the sense that God gave a goose. So we have all those interesting ways we use that word, but today we're going to try to rescue the word from all those strange uses and kind of go back to the religious meaning of blessing, especially as we think about Jesus blessing the children. This idea of blessing has a long, long heritage and tradition in the Bible. We see it a lot of times in the Old Testament, especially amongst those Old Testament patriarchs in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 48, when Joseph was finally reunited with his brothers and his fathers in Egypt after that long absence, says that Jacob blessed his grandsons. He was so happy to see them, blessed his grandsons after they were finally reunited. But there are other times of blessing. In Genesis chapter 12, it says God blesses Abraham, and through him, he's going to bless his descendants, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I think that's one of the places where we get this idea of we are blessed to be a blessing. Abraham and his family were blessed that they might bless others. And then you have that interesting story when Isaac is getting ready he has twin sons, Jacob and Esau. Esau is the older one, and he's going to give the blessing, which was really a big thing in Jewish families. Isaac is going to give the blessing to Esau, but Jacob the trickster sneaks in and he puts these animal skins on, and when Isaac reaches out, he thinks he's touching Esau's head, but it's really Jacob, and Jacob steals his father's blessing. There was great importance attached to which child, especially which son, would get the blessing. The older one was supposed to receive the blessing first, but sometimes we see God would even choose the younger child if that was God's purpose. In Genesis chapter 49, near the end of that great book, Jacob, again on his blessing, on his deathbed, now that he has all his sons with him, blesses all 12 of those sons, just like his like their father Joseph did. And today's adventure from Mark, we see that Jesus is blessing the children. Now, in itself, that story may not sound all that exciting. It's not like a miracle or a healing or feeding of 5,000 people. Jesus is just blessing some children. But I think it's a very important and even practical idea that we all can use in our own lives nearly every day. Many years ago, I read this interesting book by Gary Smalley and John Trent called The Blessing. You can see how old it is. The pages are kind of yellow, but it has been reissued and revised. And so if you have an opportunity to get this book and read it, you can even get it on your Kindle now. I think it would be worth your time. But this book helped me understand the importance of this idea. I keep looking for the choir. They're not back there. They're on vacation this month. But it helped me understand the idea of the blessing, not just in biblical terms, but also in our lives today. We can see what Jesus did for the children in blessing them. If we really understand that, we see that it was a lot bigger deal than just sort of Jesus patting the kids on the head or, you know, giving them a chuck under their chin. And in the process, I hope we can learn how to bless our children, our grandchildren, and the special children, but even the special people in our lives, because it's not just for children. And we can see how a blessing is a lot more than just saying something like, bless your heart or God bless you. No doubt Jesus was very familiar with the meaning of the blessing in the Jewish home. In the book, Smalley and Trent list several unique aspects of the Old Testament blessing. They almost always included meaningful touch, a spoken message, attaching high value to the person who is being blessed, and picturing a special future for them. So the blessing involved all that, touching and speaking words, telling them how much they meant to them, and what a special future God had in mind for them. That was all part of the blessing. And Mark doesn't mention that Jesus did that with all the children in the story this morning, but I imagine his blessing included a lot more, as I say, than just patting them on the head. And we'll look at those different elements in just a moment. But I say, if you have a chance to get this book and read it, it really has a lot of good things in it. When Jesus blesses the children, he really is giving them a very precious gift. As parents or grandparents, we give our kids a lot of gifts, don't we? Gifts of money and time, clothing, cell phones, toys, college educations, all those kind of things. But one of the greatest gifts we can give any person, especially any child, is the gift of genuine acceptance. Genuine acceptance. Because deep down, isn't that what all of us really want? We just want to know that we are accepted, that we are loved, that we're valued, especially by our parents or the people who are important to us. And if a young person doesn't receive that sense of genuine acceptance from their family, then chances are they're going to look for it somewhere else. They're going to look for it maybe from their peer group, or some seek it out in a gang, or maybe even by joining a cult, things like that. We want to find it somewhere, healthy or unhealthy. And if we don't get that sense of genuine acceptance, it can leave a deep hole, an empty space inside of us. Leaves us with that sense that we're never quite good enough. We never quite measure up. But we long, don't we just long to hear our parents say, I love you. You're beautiful. You're smart. You can do it. I believe in you. Too often, young people hear things like, have you gained weight? Is a B really the best grade you could get? Can't you do anything right? You'll never amount to anything. Why can't you be more like your brother or your sister? But the blessing can help convey that genuine acceptance that we all need. So I'd like us to look today at how we can give that gift of the blessing, just as Jesus, I believe, gave it to these children on that day. We can see how parents can bless their children, grandparents can bless their grandchildren, husbands can bless their wives, wives can bless their husbands, teachers can bless their students. We can bless all kinds of people. First, though, again, note how the disciples acted when people, probably parents, began bringing these children for Jesus to touch and to bless. The disciples didn't step forward and start you know, picking the children up and putting them on Jesus' lap, kind of like the elves, you know, with Santa Claus in the mall. They just weren't being very nice about it, were they? They were maybe saying things to the kids and their parents like, "Oh, get out of here. Jesus doesn't really have time for you. He has many more important things to do." And when Jesus heard that, it really made him mad. He told the disciples, "No, let these children come to me. Don't try to stop them, because these children can teach us about what kind of people get into the kingdom of God." I think he meant we have to have a childlike faith, a childlike spirit to receive the gift of the kingdom. And that's when Jesus takes these children up in his arms by himself, and he lays his hands on them, and he blesses them. And there we have that first aspect of touch that Smalley and Trent talked about, that meaningful touch. Jesus touches the children. He picks them up. He lays his hands on them. I can imagine them sitting in his lap. Jesus probably put his hand on their heads. Meaningful touch was such an important part of conveying the blessing in the Old Testament, and it still is today. In the Old Testament days, parents would touch their children with a hug, with a kiss, by laying hands on them. It reminds us that we need to be touched physically by those important to us. You know, they say a person needs X number of hugs every day. And if it's not a hug, at least some kind of meaningful touch. And Jesus knew the importance of touch. And that's why he held these kids in his lap and he laid his hands on them. He didn't just bless them from a distance. He didn't say, "Hey, you kids over there, God bless you. Now get out of here while I talk to your parents." He didn't do that. He knew children need to be hugged and kissed and held by the people important to them. We know now that touch helps newborn infants bond with their mothers and their fathers. And now when a baby is born, oftentimes they'll take that baby and they'll lay it on the mother's stomach just so that bonding process can begin. You see, sports teams, when they're excited, they high-five each other, they hug each other, they chest bump. I mean, if you've watched any of the World Cup games, when someone scores a goal, maybe the goal scorer will lay down on the ground and his whole team will pile on top of him. They'll hug. They'll show how important they are to each other. Or when you go to a hospital or a nursing home, there's really nothing more important than you can do than just grasp the hand of that person in the bed or in the chair and just let them know you're there and convey your love by that physical touch. And so we're finding out that meaningful touch, even all by itself, has all kinds of positive effects. Even scientific studies have been done that show that when someone is touched in a meaningful way, it releases this hormone called oxytocin that promotes trust and bonding. So there's even a physiological reason for it. Now, nowadays, of course, in our present worlds, we know we have to talk about appropriate touch. You can't just go up and hug or kiss anybody. But if it's not your own child, there's a child in the church you want to bless, maybe you can do a side hug, or you can do a high five, or you can shake their hand, or give them a pat on the back. But touch is just the first part of the blessing. There's more. Jesus didn't only lay his hands on the children. It says he also blessed them. And I think that meant he spoke words to each one. There was some kind of a spoken message. And I imagine it was a lot more than, you know, each child came up, "God bless you, Henry. God bless you, Susie," you know, like assembly line. He probably took time to speak special words to each child. Because we share blessing when we touch someone in a meaningful way. Could be a hug, a kiss, an embrace, shaking of the hands. But we also bless through our words. And those words are carefully chosen. It's not just any words. Smalley and Trent point out in their book that we bless others when we attach high value to the one we're trying to bless through our words, and when we picture a special future for them. We tell them how important they are to us, how valuable they are, and we tell them how much they mean to God and what special plans God has for them. And I can imagine that's what Jesus was doing as he held each one of those children on his lap and he laid his hands on them. He was saying, telling them how much God loved them and what special purpose God had in mind for them as they grew and became everything that God wants them to be. He was blessing them with words of high value and a special future, just like generations of parents had done for their children in Jewish homes, and probably, I imagine, as Jesus' own parents had done for him countless times as he was growing up. Well, how do we bless another with words of high value? Well, think about it. Sometimes we talk about, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Well, what do we mean when we bless the name of God? That just means we're telling God how much we love Him, how much God means to us. And the same with people. We tell them how important they are, how special they are, how much they mean to us. You know. And we have to remember that these words really should be separate from just their outward qualities. It's okay to compliment someone's appearance or, you know, say, oh, you look great today, or you played a great game today. But a lot of times those are based on physical appearance or performance. We need to let other people, especially children, know that they have value just for who they are. For example, you could say to a child, oh, I noticed how you take such good care of your little brother or your little sister. Or I noticed how you never seem to give up. You never get discouraged. You always stick with it till you finish. Or you say, I know that I can always depend on you. You really are my rock. You could say, I love the way that you always look for and see the good in other people. You never tear them down. Or you just say, you know, you are really God's special gift to me. Think about how good that would make someone feel. But blessing, words of blessing not only attach a high value to the person, but they also help picture a special future for the one that we bless, that God really has great plans for you. You see this when Jacob blesses his 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. For example, he says to Judah, Judah, you're going to grow up to rule like a lion. And Joseph, he says, you're going to be like a fruitful bough. And Reuben, you're going to exceed all of them in rank and power. A blessing can help fill a person with all the potential of what God intends for them to be. It can give them hope, a sense of direction for their lives. It can bring out the best in them. And I can remember when I was in high school, and I had no inkling that I was going to become a minister. It was really the last thing I'd thought of. But I remember, I can picture this so clearly. It was a fellowship time after church at the church over in Iowa Park, and this lady named Thelma Gay came up to me, and she said, Don, have you ever thought about being a minister? And I'd never even thought about that, truthfully. It was really the last thing. But something she said in that just sort of sparked that idea. And sort of she was maybe picturing a special future for me that God knew about, but I didn't know about. But we can do that with children. And that'll be so much better than the kinds of things that children so often hear at home. They hear things like, oh, you'll never amount to anything. Or, I hope you're strong because you're not smart enough to go to college. Or, you better find a rich person to marry because you're never going to make it on your own. Who wants to grow up hearing things like that? How much better to hear something like, oh, I can see God has given you such a sensitive heart. I wouldn't be surprised if you grow up helping a lot of different people. Or, you're such a good helper around the house. You're going to be such a big helper to your family when you grow up. See, Jesus didn't let his disciples take away his opportunity to bless these children. And we shouldn't let any opportunity pass that we have to share a blessing with someone else, whether that's just through a meaningful touch, a hug, a pat on the back, a high five, or maybe telling them how important they are to us and how important they are to God, and by telling them what special plans God has for them in the future. Because friends, truly, a blessing can change someone's life. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, Thank you for blessing us in so many ways. We know we say that sort of casually, and we remember to count our blessings, but you are such a God of infinite blessing to us. You've blessed us especially through your Son, Jesus. And in this story of how Jesus blessed these children, we can only imagine what they grew up to be in their lifetimes, that they could look back, wow, Jesus blessed me. You bless each one of us, Lord, and we accept that blessing and use us, Lord, truly to be a blessing to others as we touch and share and speak words of blessing to them. May we make a big difference in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 572.